Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com. For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survival events, sign up now for TBISN.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBILaw.com or call 800-992-9447.
And now, it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show.
Hello, everybody, and thanks so much for being here tonight. This is your host, Kim Justice, and let's see. I'm having a problem tonight. I've been having a problem all day. It looks like my chat room might be having some difficulty, so I will figure that out in just a little bit, but I want to welcome the guests in the chat room, Jenny, one of our regulars, and I'm going to take care of a little housekeeping before I am excited to visit with our guest tonight, and I know that you guys will be too. We want to thank our sponsor, Gordon Johnson at TBILaw.com. And I want to let you all know, if you want to call in and ask questions, we're going to do our interview first. But if you want to listen to the show or ask questions, our phone number here is 424-243-9540. And again, make the announcement that all of these shows are archived for on demand. So if you come in late or you're looking for a specific topic at a time that one of our shows isn't on, you can always go in the on demand section of braininjuryradio.com and look through the shows. We're on seven nights a week, seven different hosts, and we all bring a little something different to the table. So I encourage you to check it out. Let's see. It seems I had one other announcement to make to give everybody a chance to get in. Yes, I'm excited to say I didn't want to do it last night since Les Paul had an author on his show, but my audiobook version of In a Flash, Miracles Here and Beyond came out the day before yesterday on audibles.com, and I see that today it has shown up on Amazon and iTunes. So if you're interested in either the paperback, the ebook, or now the new audiobook, you can check out my site, inaflash.org, and I have handy links to all of those places right on my homepage over to the right. One of the things that you guys taught me, so many things you guys taught me that I didn't know, having gone 17 years without ever having met another survivor, so many things that dynamics I had going on inside me, like what I call the full basket syndrome and sensory overload and mood swings, vision disturbances, things like that. There were so many things that I learned from you guys, or at least that I got validated from you guys, that it wasn't about me being crazy or I was accused of making things up because I quote-unquote looked normal. And I was in self-imposed denial for a long time, fighting these things instead of accepting these things, because they told me I had successful surgery and I looked normal and wanted to be that way. And so, it wasn't until my book came out a little over a year ago and I was able to find this station and eventually become a host on it that I heard hundreds of people from all over the country talking about these same symptoms that I have. And you even pointed out some that I hadn't realized, at least not directly, and that's that it's been forever since I've sat down and read a book. I didn't even read my own. Between the vision disturbances and my attention span, I just haven't been able to do that. And so it was interesting to me that I knew nothing about the publishing industry when I decided to write my book. So that was kind of a steep learning curve. And so I did do that, but I knew I was going to have to do an ebook, even though I didn't read them myself. I knew that the world was going to the ebook, and it never even occurred to me until at least two or three times every single month, it seems, people were saying, when is the audiobook coming out, or where is your audiobook? Do you have an audiobook? And this kept coming up over and over and over again, and I thought, wow, I didn't realize that that was such a strong market. And it turns out that one of the reasons why it is because a lot of you, like me, have a hard time sitting down and reading, people with brain injury. Now, your average person these days under 40 is multitasking so many things that they simply don't have the attention span for it innately, I think, a lot of people. People who have suffered a traumatic brain injury are actually challenged, a lot of us, in that way and can't do it. So finally, I decided a couple of months ago that an audiobook was a very good idea for a lot of people. And if I do it again in the future, I'll probably just do an audio. But in any case, welcome. I did just what I thought, given some people some time to get into the room. So what I will say now is that my guest tonight is going to be Marbeth Dunn. Marbeth is a master of energy and the subtle realities, a spiritual teacher for the last 25 years, and a Kundalini yoga instructor and empowerment coach. She helps people release their hurts, losses, limiting beliefs, and energetic blockages quickly and easily, and shows them how to effectively use the laws of the universe to create a new reality. Marbeth is a popular international speaker, workshop leader, and radio talk show host. Her work has helped people all over the world. She can be heard weekly on her own show, The Great Metamorphosis, on the Law of Attraction radio network. For more information, visit her website at, and I'll type this in after I'm done reading and we bring her on, and we'll mention it again a couple times, but www.marbethdunn.com. That's marbethdunn.com. So without further ado, I am going to introduce you folks to Marbeth Dunn. Are you with us?
I am, and it's lovely to be here.
Thank you so much for coming on tonight. I see that Tracy Miller is in the room tonight, and she's actually who turned me on to you, talked to me about you, and had me look at your website. And after Tracy has been a loyal listener, she kind of got an idea of how I was and how I do my show, and suggested to me that we should hook up, and I took a look and I thoroughly agreed. So I was telling Tease and Tracy about being my co-producer and helping to find such an interesting and insightful guest. So I'm glad that I see Tracy in the chat room as well as some others, and I want to thank Tracy once again for connecting us.
Oh yeah, well, Tracy's wonderful. Yeah,
I think so too. So tell us a little bit about your history, Marbeth.
Well, you know, I'm known as the joy strategist now, but as I was telling you earlier today, for many, many, many years, it was the opposite. I was not joyful. I was pretty miserable. I felt very weak and powerless, and I had very severe asthma. And in fact, about 12, 13 years ago, I actually experienced respiratory arrest. I stopped breathing. So a lot of this had to do with childhood issues of feeling abandoned, feeling less than, lack of self-esteem, lack of personal power, and, you know, basically a victim mentality. And there was, I guess, a lot of repressed anger and fear. But part of it was also because I was very empathic. I am very empathic. And I didn't know it. I thought there was something wrong with me. So for most of my life, that it was very difficult. About 25 years ago, though, I discovered A Course in Miracles. And I learned that I didn't have to be a victim anymore. I had responsibility over my thoughts and that I could choose to think something different. Well, that was really such an enormous revelation. I had no idea that I could change my thoughts. I thought, well, that's the way it was. And if that's the way it was, you know, you can't change it. Well, life isn't like that at all. You can change your world just by changing your thoughts. So who knew?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I learned to take responsibility. And I could change what, if I didn't like what I was feeling in the moment, I could change it. We have over 70,000 thoughts every day. And, you know, and I'm very, very grateful to, even though, you know, I went through such hell not being able to breathe. I lived on a mountaintop. I didn't tell you this. I lived on a mountaintop in Haiti without electricity or city water for 7 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah. And, you know, so there really wasn't, you know, very much in terms of health care, you know, or anything. And it was very, very scary. But I also realized what an amazing gift this was, because if I hadn't experienced what I was experiencing, I wouldn't feel the compassion, and I wouldn't get what other people are going through. You know, it's if you haven't really experienced it, it's hard to describe. You know, and I know in your situation, if you hadn't experienced it, you wouldn't be able to really relate to other people who are going through a similar issue. So it's really been a blessing. It's deepened me, and so became a spiritual teacher about a little over 25 years ago. And then after I left my marriage, I began studying in great depth empowerment training and energy and consciousness healing modalities. And then I've become a Kundalini yoga instructor. And, you know, I just combine everything that I learn. And I use it to help people get into that creative and into the flow of joy, you know, basically into that beautiful, joyful flow where you've released the issues. And I don't mean that, you know, that you necessarily release the physical issue that you're dealing with. However, there are limitations in your thinking. You need to release those to recognize that this is, it's not necessarily anything bad. It just is. I don't know. Are you familiar with Ken Kies Jr.?
No, I don't believe I am.
Well, about 25 years ago in Florida, there was a guy named Ken Kies Jr. He actually had a realty company. When he was 25 years old, he contracted polio. And just barely managed to survive, and he was a paraplegic after that. He was confined to a wheelchair, yet he invented a method, some kind of device to enable him to turn over in bed. He created devices so that he could sail. He married, I think, 3 times. He said, I was looking for the quote, I don't have it here, but he basically said that if he hadn't had that, it was such a lesson for him. It enabled him to learn lessons that he never would have learned. It enabled him to really access different ways of releasing different thoughts that he was experiencing. He published millions of books. I have a couple to this day. One was the Handbook to Higher Consciousness, and he was actually one, I would say probably the teacher who inspired Wayne Dyer to get started.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, so he took, and he said, you know, I don't feel like I'm a paraplegic. I don't feel like I'm crippled at all. He said, I'd live such a full life. You know, it's not really an infirmity. It doesn't stop me. And I think, wow, isn't that a beautiful way to think about things? You have an issue, but is it a gift? It all depends on your perception, right?
Right, exactly. So I think part of that, you know, really the change, you know, getting used to your perception, like you say, of who you are and what you're about, and then having that dramatically change. I think, you know, one thing people need to know in hearing these stories is I don't think that shift is made overnight, you know, or coming from a family of origin where there might be abuse or bad, you know, bad marriages where things like that might be going on, you know, that shift of letting go of the old me and rolling into acceptance that there's going to be a new me and then actually embracing it like this gentleman and, you know, yourself and others have done isn't an overnight destination. It's kind of a lifelong journey that unfolds as we go.
Well, everything is, yes. We're on a journey. But everything that occurs to us is an opportunity to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I also, I guess 4 years ago, Valentine's Day, I experienced the loss of my sweetheart to a heart attack. And again, you know, if anybody had said to me at the time, no, I knew it on a lot of levels, this is a gift. But you know, I never would have been able to accept that at the time, but I had the tools and I was able to move through it fairly quickly. And, you know, it was a choice. Again, I could have sat home, I could have mourned it, you know. Health issues are losses. You know, we lose mobility, we lose our full physical range. And any loss that you experience is going to affect you in other ways. And, you know, there's certain symptoms that, or indicators, I call them, about loss. And anything from sleep, either sleeping too much or not enough, or just a regular sleep patterns, or you're gaining weight, you're losing weight, you can't eat, no appetite. You're feeling queasy, maybe you've got a headache or you've developed these other aches and pains and your blood pressure goes up or your blood pressure goes down, you know.
Yeah.
All of these are the ways our bodies talk to us. You know, it's a body wisdom. So, you know, I knew I had a choice at the time. This was a very significant loss and I could have sat home and I could have grieved and, you know, and that's absolutely a, you know, perfectly respectable thing to do. Nobody would have faulted me at all, but something inside of me just said no. I had a seminar I was attending the next week and I went. And part of the reason was I had 3 very powerful women coming to stay with me for this conference and I really needed their support.
No, sure.
I knew I needed their support. But the other thing was, is that I realized I had tools and that holding on to the grief was not going to enhance his memory at all. You know,
right.
What really was the important thing there was not that I honored him by grieving, but that there was love there. And that love, once, you know, I was able to release everything very quickly because I did have the tools, you know, all of the emotions, relatively. Nothing happens overnight in a situation like that. But, you know,
sure.
To be able to release it over, you know, a very short period of time. And there really wasn't anything left but love and memories, you know. And that, to me, is really honoring someone, and it's honoring yourself. And so, you know, so we have ways of moving through the emotional aspects of any kind of loss, really. And then we can step into the dignity of who we are and really acknowledge our magnificence. And because we're not really these bodies, Kim, we're so much bigger than this.
Oh, yes.
No, we're bigger than the universe. And these bodies, they're just, you know, in terms of quantum physics, these bodies are only 0.00001% of who we are. The 0.9999999 or the 99.99999% of who we are is energy and potential. It's spirit. So, yeah, it's true. If you look at, you know, what constitutes an atom or a molecule, you know, an atom is composed of these little particulates of matter, but it's mostly space. Mostly
right.
Space, right?
And
it is. That's what we're composed of. So it really is like if you had an apple, a big apple in your hand, this would be a fraction of the seed. Is the amount of matter that's in our body. I mean,
well, that
true.
Puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Yeah. So we're so much bigger than that. So don't let, you know, these physical infirmities limit you.
Well, I know there's a number of us and even a couple people in the chat room, and I do want to say to the people in the chat room, there, I would be chatting with you folks, but there's some kind of a malfunction going on where I'm not able to type in the chat room tonight, so I'm not ignoring you at all. I can see you guys. I'm watching you type. Know that I'm paying attention, but I'm not quite sure what's wrong here with the chat room. But in any case, myself and a couple of other people that are in the chat did have near-death experiences in the course of being in a coma when we had our brain injuries. And I think a lot of us have a different feeling, you know, maybe came back a little more spiritually intuitive, had different the perception of us being spiritual beings and the physical body being a carrying case for the soul and the limitlessness in the next life. But I think that our humanness can sometimes, at least I'll only speak for me, still cause me to be self-limiting. Even having
right.
the knowledge of the afterlife here in the human existence, I can still be in my own way and not experience the all those limitlessness possibilities that I know are true on the other side. I can't always grasp them here on this side.
Right. And that's okay. Right?
Right. Well, you know, you do it. You can, and I think that it's good to have the opportunity. You know, one of the things I like about what you're doing on a lot of different levels and what we're trying to do here on the show is that a lot of times when people go through these shifts, whether it's an addictive disorder, an abuse situation, a traumatic brain injury, any kind of mortality, facing illness is, gosh, and I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. It's been
That's
tough,
okay.
Beth.
Okay.
I guess is just you know, like I say, that shift, it can undermine the self-esteem and make us think that we can't. That's where I was. Okay, thank you. Choices. I think a lot of times we think our choices have been taken away when one of these major shifts happens, and
right.
get caught on that little rat wheel, hamster wheel, going round and round and round, feeling trapped and like we don't have choices anymore. And one of the things that I like about this evolution and this journey and things like what you're doing and what the radio show's trying to do is to let people know that we do always have choices. And we're usually what stands in our own way a lot of times. Would you agree with that?
We're definitely what stands in our own way, you know, really. Very, very, even though it seems like other people might be the cause of discomfort in our lives, when you look at it from the point of view that other people are basically a reflection of you, maybe it's something that you haven't wanted to look at, and so you're projecting your anger on them. You know, or something that you don't want to accept in yourself. But very often, you know, when we practice the true forgiveness of just really, you know, kind of like dropping whatever is bothering you, like you would drop a pencil and it's gone.
Right.
When you can forgive another person, you're really forgiving yourself, and that can shift a lot of things inside of you. Did that answer the question? I think I just went off on a rant.
No, it does. I like that, and I've used the analogy. There's things like that when I'm, you know, have a mental block, and we'll use like your example of being upset with someone else or a situation that I'm powerless over. You know, I have a couple of those now, and I try, I've talked about it before, one of the imagery tools I use as far as turning over things that I'm powerless over is imagining the bank drive-through and pulling into the drive-through and putting my issue in that tube and then putting it in the container and hitting send and whew, watching it go straight up and hopefully not taking it back. You know what I mean? Just letting it go out to the universe and then go through some of those tools of recovery. You know, like the yoga, for one, I was doing that for a while. I haven't been for a couple of years, and I got to tell you, I felt a lot better when I was. But, you know, I think for me anyway, I first got to come to terms with, okay, this is what's eating my lunch, or this is what my psychological block is. So I need to physically, I know some people that have maybe, they would call it a God box. You know, they'll write down their issue, they'll put it in the box. I have the imagery of turning it, you know, doing the bank drive through and hitting send and watching it go out into the universe. And then after I've made that admission to myself, I guess, recognized or had the awareness, then I have to have the acceptance. But then I need to take action, because the only way I'm not going to take that back, you know, is by taking action to continue growing down a positive path and to distract myself, because otherwise I'm going to be tempted to get back in the same loop again and pull back those things that I'm powerless over and keep bludgeoning myself with them. You know, did I try this? Maybe if I did this, could I do that? Perhaps this would work. And that's just so unproductive.
It's so unproductive. I know, it really is.
It
but
really
we do,
is.
We beat ourselves up. And why do we do that? Why do you think?
I'm not sure. You can tell me. All I know is I've got to focus on the things that I can do and not the things that I can't and just do it. I've got to take the action. Fear of failure, fear of success, fear.
Yeah, no, it is. It's fear. It's fear that does it. It's, you know, that's it. And the thing is that we have that fear when we're up in our head and when we forget that we're not bigger than these bodies, you know, when we think
right.
that we're these bodies, that's when that fear shows up. Mm-hmm. But truthfully, that's not who we are, and we don't need to deal with it. You know, we really don't.
And what are some of the tools you use to help people get past some of those blockages or just to even point out that they're going on? First, I think there's two kinds of people that I've noticed, I mean, a lot more than that, but in this context, you know, there's people that want to talk a lot about the problem, but not really spend a lot of time in solution, you know?
Right.
You could try to help them all day, but they're not going to cooperate at the end of the day. There's something making them want to stay stuck more than they want to change.
Right.
I can't spend a whole lot of time with those people because I used to spend a lot of time with those people. It didn't help them, and it really frustrated me. So I feel like there's help for everybody, but not everybody can help everyone necessarily be as effective, maybe. You know, it's like saying that vanilla is going to be the flavor for everybody. It doesn't work, you know. But there's others who really desperately want to get out of their own way, but they just don't know how. The light at the end of the tunnel, the only light at the end of the tunnel they see is the train because it's been there so many times, you know.
Yeah.
So what do you recommend? So a person's stuck, and let's say that maybe they've just gotten out of an abusive marriage or they've just had this brain trauma and are now past the initial medical part where they're coming to realize that they're not going to be able to do their old life the way that they did it before, and they're going to need to face that fear and move forward, but they're scared and they don't know what to do. Where do you have a person start?
Well, everybody's different. You know, basically when I meet with people, you know, one-on-one, because I'm an empath and an intuitive, well, I would tap into them and see where are they holding their stuff. You know, where are they stuck? And, you know, I don't need to know what the story is. I just need to see where are they holding their issues in their body. Because the body has immense wisdom. And what happens is their body communicates with me, and I'm able to feel where they're holding it. So it's actually almost like I'm a computer program. I'm a receptor. And so, you know, I'll sit there with a pen and a paper and you know, and over the phone, you know, they could be anywhere in the world, you know, and I just tap into them, and, you know, then I'll get some information. So, like, I might feel something in my first chakra, and then I would tap into that, and is that money, or is that fear, or is anxiety, or is there something, an old tribal pattern, maybe ancestral pattern? So I would make a note of that. And then that it's almost like it fades. And another indicator, I call them indicators, I don't like to use the word symptom, another indicator will pop up. So maybe I'll feel a lot of clenching going on in my solar plexus. And again, so I'll tap in. Is this, you know, a loss of personal power? Is there a conflict going on? You know, what is it, you know, a situation with a relationship, whatever it is. You know, so then I'll make a note of that. And then that'll fade, and another indicator would crop up, whether I might feel something on my back, you know, or I might feel something in my chest. And I just, you know, tune in, what is it? And so their body basically tells me what is going on there. And we all have that ability to tap into our own bodies, but we have been isolated up in our heads, or in the case of a dramatic incident, you actually can very often just leave your body. It's not comfortable to be there. It hurts. And I don't want to be there. You know, so we leave. We're not even in the body, which isn't
right.
really a good thing to be. Ideally, you want to be in tune with what you're feeling in your body. Now, when you've experienced that relationship, you know, the breakup, initially it could be even too painful to even go there. But
yeah.
I encourage people to feel what you're feeling in your body and don't judge it. So if you're feeling, you know, you've lost somebody or you've lost experience, any kind of loss, it could be empty nest. It could be, you know, I don't feel so beautiful anymore. I don't feel so young anymore. I've lost myself in a relationship. Whatever it is, you could be feeling, generally that shows up as an ache in your chest. And so, you know, I would encourage you to feel that feeling, even though it may feel very uncomfortable. But just allow yourself to feel it and don't judge it. What happens is we experience something and then we're holding this trauma somewhere in our body and it's so uncomfortable, we don't even want to feel it, so we repress it. And when you're repressing emotions, it's like you're pushing beach balls under the water. And you have all of these different emotions and you know that you're holding under the water. It takes a lot of energy. It's exhausting.
I'll say. Been there, done that. So I was interested in the body parts then. What about, like, in the jaw, people that grind?
Oh, well, believe me, I was a grinder. I definitely ground my teeth when I was little because I came from, you know, an abusive situation with my dad. And, you know, it was very traumatic for a little teeny one to be in a situation where, you know, my mom was afraid she was going to be murdered, you know. Wasn't pretty, you know, she's sleeping with furniture against the door. So, you know, so I was definitely a grinder. And what is that? I would say that would be unresolved fear or stress, really. And once you get to the, but I, you know, it's interesting too, because do you grind your teeth?
I do. I could grind a Cadillac into a dime in two nights.
Can I tap into you and see where that's coming from?
Sure.
You okay with that?
I think so.
Okay. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your hand over your heart.
Okay. Got it.
I want you to bring your awareness under your hand.
Okay.
Okay, and what's coming up for me first is the lower chakras. Oh, I'm feeling some interesting things. Definitely feeling some interesting things. So in terms of your teeth, I'm going to ask your body to tell me what that's about. It's a lot of unshed emotion. And there's a lot of a sadness. You went through hell with, you know, and you haven't released all of the emotions. They're still there. And even though very often I find that people think that they've released things because, you know, they've gone through it and they've done this and they've done that, there are always more layers.
Yeah, the old onion.
It's the old onion. There are always more layers.
Well, yes, I think you're right. I didn't do this. You know, it's interesting. I grew up in a similar dynamic. There was childhood abuse, and then when I was a teenager, not in the family, but a sexual abuse situation, a lot of reasons to have been grinding when I was young, and I didn't. It wasn't until after I had my ruptured brain aneurysm and my brain surgery that became a symptom. And, you know, I think obviously that was a really scary thing to happen at age 35 when I was at the top of my game physically, mentally, professionally, every way at that moment in time, you know, that would be the moment, not that you'd take it any better at any time, you know, but I mean, it was interesting, that timing, because I was, you know, years out, and like you said, I had worked on treatment, you know, different treatments to let go of those things that I did, endured, I guess, you know, as a kid and as a teenager. So I was well into recovery at the point that the tablecloth of life just got jerked out from under me, you know, and I guess I'm sure that I'm a person that had and can still have a lot of control issues. And you know, when your brain ruptures out of nowhere with no symptoms at all, and you know that that can happen of any minute of any day, you know, January 9th of 1995, I got up like I did any other day, had my coffee like I did any other day, drove into work, and I was having an any other day, you know, until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then my life changed forever. And yeah, that's huge. So I think I tried to really stay a day at a time as much as possible, because it's too overwhelming to look at the vastness of the past or the uncertainty of the future. And so I'm sure that you're right. I'm sure that you're right. You know, and now I have new issues. I talked to you a little bit about it earlier, family issues, you know, some illness in my with my dad, and you know, now instead of me being the person, and I want to talk about, you talked about victim earlier, I was going to say, I wanted to talk a little bit about that victim thing. I'm not really switching gears, I'll finish off my first thought, but you know, in those early years, in the teens, I was definitely a victim. By the time I was 35 and had this rupture, I didn't go through any why me's. I didn't feel like, at least overtly, I didn't feel like a victim. But I really did feel blindsided, and didn't quite know how to go forward with that. I wasn't equipped with the skills, like I think a lot of us aren't. And what's really unfortunate, and why Craig, you know, God bless him, started this radio channel, is that there's a lot of people like myself who were not plugged into any kind of support group. We had never talked to another survivor who had been through what we had been through, and so we've kind of gone through our process in a vacuum, you know, in isolation, without any relatability to other survivors. And the way that traditional medicine, a lot of, not all, but, you know, if a pill won't fix it or the surgery won't fix it, and there's a joke everybody's heard me make 1,000 times, we get relegated to the psychiatric boneyard, you know.
And, you're right.
Right, you know, that's where they send us. And a lot of times, you know, we're not the victim anymore. We just don't know how to go forward. And so we don't exactly get the kind of help we're looking for when we get sent from traditional medicine into that particular venue. I guess it depends on who it is. I've been to a lot of them in my life, and I haven't met the one that that's, I guess, you know, you get something a little bit from everybody. You know, I think everybody in life is our teachers. Some teach us how to do things right, and some teach us how to do things not so right. If we're paying attention, there's, you know, everybody's got a story that we can learn from. But, you know, the things that have given me the most recovery have been, I was saying, well, I was actually saying to that therapist earlier this afternoon how incredible it was, because now their office is having, I was telling the folks a couple weeks ago that my psychiatrist called me. Never heard from this guy. I've had to actually check to see if he has a pulse when I'm in there a couple of times. I mean, in my 15 minutes, you know, of fame, the walk of shame with the guy, you know, I really wasn't sure what he was about, because I had a guy for 15 years I was very connected with, and unfortunately it was a loss. He retired. I had to find someone new. The system got me into corporate shrinkery, and it's a whole different ball game. And but this guy showed me something, and I was impressed after, I don't know, a year or two. He had somebody sitting in his office, and she had had an aneurysm and is in the same city as me, obviously, where there isn't any kind of support. And he thought a lot of what she said sounded familiar. And he thought of me, and he knows that, you know, he's read my book. He knew about the book, and he knew about the radio show. And he said to the woman, and he told me, because he knew me and went through this process with me, he knew to ask her if she had ever talked to another survivor. And I imagine he did that with a pen and the script pad in one hand, but God bless him, at least with the other hand, you know, he asked her if she had ever talked to another survivor. She said no, and he was calling to ask me if it would be okay for her to get a hold of me. And that was a couple of weeks ago, and I did talk to that lady and told her about the station and just shared some things with her. Well, anyway, the therapist that I'm relegated to most of the rest of the time, today when I came in, another one, you know, and these people hadn't really ever even been paying attention to the physical problem that brought these people to their boneyard in the first place. And now they're getting a little bell ringing in their head. And I am happy that they're at least opening people up to something other than just their office. They're not turning them over or any, you know, they're not turning them loose, but they're being cooperative, you know what I mean? They're being more fair to their patient by trying to connect them with somebody else who's been through the same thing. And I think that the strength of recovery, you know, comes in that empathy and in numbers and that relatability. And so, you know, the readings, the things that you're talking about, the things that you're doing, the more gentle approach to it that doesn't involve medication.
Right.
You know, those are the kind of things I think that people need to balance. And I'm not saying by any means that most of us don't belong in the shrink boneyard from time to time in our life, or that medication is always a bad thing. I'm not saying any of that. But I think that the times I have felt the best and had the most amount of recovery and the least amount of fear have been when I've been using a blended approach to recovery with my quiver full of different arrows, not just using one thing, not taking a pill and thinking that's going to fix it all, or joining a new church and thinking that's going to fix it all, or going and taking that yoga class or getting that massage. Not any one of those things. I've had to do a variety of those things and to strike my own balance. And I think everybody's balance is different, and some things work better for some people than others. So you've got to find your own blend, if you will. But that it always is a blend. There's no magic bullet in this life, I think.
No, there's no magic bullet. But, you know, if you can raise your vibrational frequency up by releasing all the emotional baggage or the energetic baggage, you know, I mean, very often, you know, we're carrying other people's stuff. You know, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Energetically, yeah. You know, like
absolutely.
Like you're dealing with your dad right now. And you are carrying his stuff. I don't mean in the sense that you're taking care of him. I mean, like, energetically, you have taken on a lot of his stuff. You know what I'm talking about.
And mostly hers, yeah. Mostly hers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so what you need to do is to actually... would you like me to help you clear that now?
Sure.
You want to be carrying? Yeah. Okay. So let's just gather up all that stuff that you've been carrying energetically, and that's what's going on with your back. You know that?
How'd you know my back hurt?
Because my back just hurt. As soon as I said, let's get rid of other people's stuff, my back just went, yeah. So
that
yeah.
is really a trip, because I didn't say that.
I know.
And my jaw is normally what hurts me and always hurts me every day. But you're right. I got up 2 days ago and my back's been in a lot of pain for 2 days. And that's not one of my usual places.
Feel how expanded you feel right now. Can you feel that?
Yeah.
Take a deep breath, because, sweetie, you've been carrying a lot of stuff that isn't yours.
Wow.
Doesn't that feel better?
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah, you were all contracted. You don't need to do that to yourself. It's not helping anybody.
Boy, that's
Because also you came from that abusive background, it also interferes with your boundaries. You don't
Absolutely.
Know how to set them well because you weren't taught as a child. So it's really important to kind of set yourself in an energetic bubble and say, no, nothing is getting in here that isn't going to serve me.
That's hard when you haven't had that training and those skills to do it. It's so easy to fall back into old patterns. You know, and it's kind of like that, I don't know, that what battered wife syndrome or the abuse syndrome where
you have that pattern, and it's very easy to fall back in it. But here's the deal. You're changing your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I used to take on other people's stuff, now I am so much stronger, and I'm setting my boundaries. I'm taking care of myself first. When I said that, did you feel like a whole bunch of stuff in the front of you just went, no. From like your solar plexus up, there was a very strong reaction there. So what's that about? Let's take a look at that.
Well, you're dead on all of them. I don't know how you do that when you're there and I'm here.
Well, I tell you, it's an amazing gift. It really is. And, you know, but I'm feeling a lot of stuff now. It's just the thought of not allowing that in, because it has to do with feeling that you need to do that in order to get through love.
Well, yeah, like you're betraying, you know.
You're not betraying them. So here's the way I want you to look at it. So imagine, you know those little Russian dolls that nest inside each other?
Yes, nesting dolls.
Okay. I like to think of like the energy around our hearts as like those nesting dolls. So nobody gets into that first circle. That's yours. That's intimate. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you have your parents in there. And they don't belong. So we're going to push them back. Not one, not two, not three. That's even too close, but four. See, I'm already pushing them back to like the fourth circle out there.
Boy, I want to hang on to that.
Yeah. So now you've got the visual. Nobody goes in there. That's your private space. I mean, you know, you're in an intimate relationship. They don't belong there. You have to learn how to set, this is mine, and you need to step back. This is my space. And doesn't that feel like you have some breathing room?
Yeah, it does. I think that's the first time I haven't been holding my breath in like 2 days, too. The first time I stopped and took that breath when you gave me the room to breathe.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I am too. Thank you. I hadn't been catching that. And we talked on someone else's show the other night. We were talking about boundaries, and it's hard enough just for people in general who have, you know, the kind of backgrounds we're talking about, but a lot of the people in our audience not only have those kind of backgrounds, but then, you know, have a traumatic brain injury, and there's a lot of people that want to take advantage of people money-wise or in a lot of other ways because they think they're deficient, you know, in some way, or they're opportunistic,
right.
You know, and they see people that have brain injuries as an opportunity on various different levels. And so it's even harder. We were talking about boundaries the other night, and so that was just another, you know, the childhood stuff, the teenage stuff, and then the, you know, the brain stuff were all things that challenged my ability to recognize the need for boundaries, which now I do recognize the need for boundaries, but being able to set them and make them stick, that's the part, make them stick, that repeated challenges to your ability to be able to do that, just what you said, makes you so tired. You know, I've just been so tired that I really haven't been effective, you know, to the people that are leaning so hard on me, because I haven't been, you know, to thine own self be true either,
mm-hmm.
You know.
That's so true, though. I mean, that's such an important thing. You know, from Shakespeare, Polonius said, "Do thine own self be true."
Mm-hmm.
And it's so essential, because you really need to love yourself before anybody else. And how many of us love ourselves? Not many.
Right.
And really, that should be the first commandment. Love God, but you are God. We're created in the image of God. And God is in every cell in our body. God is, you know, we are spirit. We are powerful creators. I'm still feeling a lot of stuff in your throat and in your chest, all the way down to your solar plexus. So I think we need to address that. You'll feel a lot better. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Can you feel it in your chest?
Yes, I don't know how you keep picking up on these things, but...
Well, it makes me uncomfortable, so I want you to bring your awareness in there. It's like this whole slab of feelings in the front of your body, and I want you to go there and just allow yourself to feel it. There you go. Just allow yourself to feel those feelings. Goes up in your throat, just feel it. You're holding on to a lot of tears. So just feel that, sweetie. It's already shifting. Just keep feeling it.
I wonder how many people in the audience have ever felt like if they started crying, they would never stop.
I'm sure a lot. I've been there. It went to your throat, because those are tears. I want you to go inside your throat and feel them.
Oh, I do.
I know, but I want you to be inside of them right now. There you go, because you've been pushing down those beach balls under the water. And you've been holding a lot of stuff in, and it takes a lot of energy. It's exhausting. So just feel this, feel that in your throat. There's still more, so let's just feel it. You're actually holding, this is going to sound a little woo, but you're holding stuff from other lifetimes as well. So I'm going to help you with this. And we'll just go. There you go. You might feel a little lightheaded.
Yeah, that's weird.
And I want you to drink a lot of water for like 24 hours.
Absolutely. This, like with massage and some of the body work, stirs up those things that have been held so tight.
Yeah, I'm going to just surround you in lots of love. Here you go, because you need that. You haven't been allowing yourself to receive it. And you haven't been giving it to yourself.
No. No, I haven't. I've been busy.
No excuse. No, when I'm releasing energy, I yawn. So if you hear me yawning, it's your energy releasing. And some of the other people on the call may be feeling this also.
Yes. I just glanced down at the chat and people are.
Well, I'm going to send a joy activation to everybody on the call. So just so you can just take a breath and just feel joy, just filling up all the cells in your body. We're really all one. And that was actually proven. We'll talk about this when we finish this meditation. That was actually proven scientifically. So we're all interconnected in the same field. Feel the joy. Just feel it flowing. Just imagine that you're in your heart space. If you're having trouble with that, put your hand over your heart. Bring your awareness under your hand. Feel the warmth. And think about something that you love. And if you can't think of something that you love, think of an innocent baby or a cute little puppy or kitten. Something that makes you feel, oh, that feels so good. Yeah. So just feel that. Feel that love. Yeah. And feel that just penetrating deep into every cell in your body. This is who you are. This is the truth of who you are. And just let that joy and that love just expand. Just expand till it extends out beyond the universe. So big. But that's really who you are. And let that joy just rise up and expand and just intensify. Feel the joy intensifying in the cells in your body. Feel the joy intensifying in your heart. And send that joy out. Send it out to the angels. They'll send it back to you. Send it out to God or Jesus, whoever you want to send it to. They'll send it right back. You can send that joy into Mother Earth. It's going to come back. Into Father Sky, it's going to come back. You feel it expanding and exploding inside of you. This is who you are. This is your birthright. This is the feeling. When you're in this feeling, this is the feeling of being in your God self. This is pure creativity. It pulls in abundance. It pulls in so many things that you desire. So it's really beautiful to cultivate this state if you can. So now I want you to do something to anchor this feeling in your body, whether it's clenching your fist and just feel that feeling. So now when you want to bring it back, you clench that fist again. Yeah. And now when you're ready, just come back and take a deep breath.
Well, that is really awesome.
Good.
What a gift. What a gift you have.
Oh.
And thank you for sharing
it with me. We all have amazing gifts, sweetheart. And I think you're going to find that your brain injury was also a gift. It is a gift. It's taught you quite a bit.
Yeah, I'll say. I need to say too, sorry, I need to pay attention for just a minute, come back to reality. I need to take, we're at the top of the hour. This show does go for another half hour on the live show. We want to thank our sponsor, TBILaw.com, Gordon Johnson. We want to thank Craig Cecilia for starting Brain Injury Radio and giving us a place for support. And if you guys want to call in now, certainly we talked about having you call in. So the number is 424-243-9540. And please feel free to call in. And if you have a question or a comment for Marbeth, you can call in now. Be glad to have you. And I'll just watch the board for anybody who would like to call in and say anything, and we'll continue talking. Again, for those of you who are more recently in the chat room tonight, my chat room isn't working at all, so I can't type back to you. I can type in the chat room, but when I try to post it, it won't. It says that. This is kind of weird, too, what the message is. I've never seen it before, but this message is popping up saying you can only have 250 characters, as if I've written a whole letter.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't have anything. I mean, I just started to type welcome at the beginning, and this thing popped up and said, you have too many characters. You're limited to 250 characters. And I'm like, what? And so I hit the backspace button and just left it down, wondering if that was it. I came out of the chat, came back into the chat. But for some reason tonight, it is not letting me type at all. So just so you guys in the chat know, I'm usually more interactive with you, and I'm not able to be tonight. So I wanted to make that announcement, too. So please feel free to call in so that we can talk to you, because I can't talk to you in the chat like I'm used to. So I see you guys out there making comments. Bring them into me and Marbeth. And in the meantime, if somebody could please type into the chat for me, Jenny, maybe Tracy, MarbethDunn.com. Like you guys to all check her out. It's MarbethDunn.com. And do take a look at her site. Thanks so much, Jenny. See all the rest of the things that she's involved with, and learn a little more about her journey. And I have a caller. So, Marbeth, I'm going to introduce you to our Tuesday night host. This is Les Paul. Les Paul, Marbeth.
Hello, Marbeth. It's very nice to meet you tonight. I'm sorry that we're having trouble with our network again. I had it last night on my show, and now it's just one of those things you just have to work your way through, and we'll make it in the morning.
Yeah.
I just want to thank you for coming on today, because I've been listening. I actually was driving in. Kim always jokes about me because I'll be listening in the car sometime coming home, and I was late getting out, so I got late to the show, so I said, okay, I'm laying my cell phone on the dash and let it and not look at it and just listen to it coming in. It's been wonderful listening to you.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And Kim, how are you feeling now?
I feel like the weight has been lifted off my shoulders and I'm fully present. I've been feeling pretty scattered, and I found it really amazing because, you know, you guys have heard me talk before about some things, usually my jaw, my neck, or a headache,
yeah.
And backaches aren't my thing. And for the last 2 days, I've had this terrible backache, and it was so weird when she said that. And then when
I heard
she
said,
I know, I was like, and then,
I had chills run up my back as she said that to you.
Me too. I felt like she was here in the room with me. I was like, how are you doing that long distance, for Pete's sake? And then, you know, when she was talking about the chest and the throat and all of that, you know, my throat has been like, you know, if you swallowed one of those big gumballs. It's,
oh, my goodness. I know what you mean exactly. I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's been like that for a while, and I've had a tightness in my chest, just uptight. You know, for one thing, too, you're right about every single thing, but one of the tools that I use a lot is cranial sacral work, you know, body work, and that helps me release some of this stuff too. And my person is someone from out of town who's in once a month, and we usually do a couple hour session, and she wasn't able to come last month, and so I missed that session. And then this ongoing family thing became, instead of a chronic thing, an acute thing over the last week. So that tightness that had built back up was just more intense, and I haven't gotten that released. So it was really awesome to hear, because I didn't realize until she said that I've been holding my breath most of the day and night for the last week. And when she said that, it was like letting the air out of the balloon, you know?
Oh, my goodness. I can only imagine how that felt.
I'm so glad you're doing better.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much. I had no idea about any of that when I...
And I just wanted to say, co-hosting with her and other members of the show, I have heard Kim saying that some of the things she's been going through, and we've been talking to her because it's been hurtful, some of the things that she's been going through with family members and things, and we've all told her we've got her in our thoughts and prayers and things. But to hear you sound like you do now, you sound like something was released. You really do.
I know. It's awesome. I want to keep that four circles out, those nesting. I'm going to go buy nesting dolls tomorrow. I know exactly what those are, and I'm going to get some of those so I can physically, you know what I mean? So they will physically be there for me to see. The imagery is nice, but that'll trigger the imagery when I put them somewhere where I walk by them, you know what I mean? Because another thing that we have a tendency to do in our survivor group here is forget, you know?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that makes it easy to go back into those negative loops, is the fact that we forget. And the thing that's more the norm to us will come to us quicker than a new idea.
I have an idea also, where you could say, I used to forget very easily, but now I'm noticing how my memory is returning more and more every day.
So you plant that and cultivate that idea.
Well, yeah, because the I am statements are very, very powerful. And anything that you attach to the words I am, you're creating. So if you're saying, I am so forgetful, well, guess what you're creating more of?
You're creating more of that. Wow.
Yeah. So you really want it. Your words are so powerful. Your thoughts are so powerful. There really isn't anything that's more powerful than your thoughts, because they're actually creating in the world outside of us, because the thoughts create the beliefs.
Wow.
And then we start to talk about them, it creates our reality. So you have to be very careful about, well, it's hard to be careful about your thoughts, because we have something like 70,000 thoughts every day. Some people probably have more, you know, and they just zoom faster than you could even, and you can't pay attention to them because you wouldn't be able to do anything else, right?
Right, exactly. Well, in 70,000, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
No wonder we are carrying this stress with a load of thoughts like that. And I think some of us, like you said, I think some of us even have more. It's hard for me to fathom if 70,000 is the average, my mind races a lot more than that, that I would even be having more than 70,000 thoughts. You couldn't stop far, you know, long enough to count those they're flying by so fast.
Yeah, no, it's true. So, you know, and most of the thoughts, you know, if you're not paying any attention to them, they're, you know, it's not an issue. But if you notice that, you know, I'm not feeling so good right now, why am I feeling so jangled or upset? Then you want to look at what did I just think? You know, if you're not feeling that peaceful or even a neutral state, what was that thought I just was thinking? You know, and try to remember what it is. You know, we can't always do that. But, again, you'll notice that feeling in your body, because that's what I really want you to be aware of, is how your body is talking to you and telling you what it's giving you, always giving you information. You know, you hear gut feelings.
Yes.
Those gut feelings are giving you information. We're not able to see the whole picture. That's why, you know, our bodies are like these receptors that feed us that information and say, hey, you know, don't take that turnpike today.
Right,
you know?
Right. Mm-hmm, I do.
Yeah.
It paints a picture to me that we all see a lot more than we realize in the back of our mind that we don't reveal right off. And I don't mean to talk too much. It brought that thought to my mind. You know, we all think that what we see and what we hear are all there is, but there's so much more to the human brain. If a supercomputer can do millions and millions of processes at a moment, I saw where the human brain just makes a supercomputer like a toy. And so that means we have a lot of mind power that we don't even know that we're using or know if we're using properly.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's very true.
I think so, too. Tracy, you should call in. Come on now. I see her in the chat. Come on now. You got this.
Come on, Tracy.
Our best on here. I want to hear from Tracy, for Pete's sake. Area code 724. You're on the air.
Hi, Marbeth and Kim and Les. This is Tracy.
Hey Tracy.
What a delightful program. You really helped me out tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, you've been going through some wonderful shifts.
Yes, haven't I? And ironically, you know, I've been really working my programs that I've been doing, and I stopped doing them, and then I got sick.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been sick in 8 years, so I'm still recovering from that. And having you on the show tonight, Marbeth, is like bringing me back to, you got to start working some more.
Good.
Yeah, I thank you for that. It was just beautiful watching what Kim was going through.
Yeah, it was. And you know, here she's been here and helping so many people with her broadcasts. And, you know, got to clear that stuff out.
Yeah, well, Tracy, I really appreciate your help. I told you that before I even knew, and I didn't have any idea that this was the turn, you know, that the show was going to take. I had no idea whatsoever because I have been.
Well, it was your
really,
turn.
I guess it was. And for
that's
that,
beautiful.
I'm most grateful and appreciative to both of you, Tracy and Marbeth,
yeah.
And the rest of the audience out there for following. And hopefully you've been getting something out of it, too, by tracking along, because we can always hear these things and adapt them to our own situations, or be able to identify I'm not terminally unique. And so, you know, anything that I'm going through on some level, you know, you've all experienced or are currently experiencing in some other aspect, you know, some other perspective of your life. So I think that this has been a very valuable program to give us more imagery. We have a hypnotist, Keith Anthony. He's in the audience, and he works. His show is about self-hypnosis, and that's what his one of his gifts is, and he's very good at guided imagery, and you know, he's been able to, when I'm wound up like a 3-day clock or whatever that old saying is, you know, some of his guided imagery has been effective in bringing me down. But one of the things that I don't do is I'm in tuned and I'm listening in the present when he's doing that, when you're doing this, to a busy life full of distraction, and I will fall back into some old patterns, and like Tracy was talking about, it takes a long time to build up disciplines, but it doesn't take long to get out of them, does it, Tracy?
Exactly. Yeah, I've been out of it for a couple weeks now, and I've been feeling really horrible. And it's because I have not been practicing what I do, and it's a wake up call here.
Yeah,
get back on the ship and start moving out.
Right. Yeah. And we even had some people on the show last night. We had an author, Les Paul, had an author on the show last night, and there was a couple people in the chat room that had talked about always, you know, they've always wanted to write a book or talked about writing a book or whatever, and thought that people wouldn't be interested in what they have to say and all of that. And I was like, just do it. You know, just do it. And the same is true, whatever the discipline is, you know, whether it's the self-hypnosis, the imagery, working with an empath, body work, the yoga, is to do something, you know. And I think that, like I say, it takes a long time to get in condition physically, mentally, spiritually, but it's unfair. It just doesn't seem to take very long at all to unravel what it takes so long to build up. And so, you know, whatever your tool is, you know, I encourage you to pick it up and do it and believe that it's going to make a difference and work. Because one thing I know for sure is I do just like what Tracy was talking about. I haven't gotten the cold yet, or whatever it was that you got, but it's on the way, because behind that, full throat, full chest, aching back, grinding jaw, not too far behind that comes that illness that you're talking about, which is down and out, you know, where the sore throat comes with the filled throat, you know, and the nose and the cold, and then I think we not make ourselves or allow ourselves, but we get sick because we're maybe not taking care of ourselves, you know, taking the eye off that ball, maybe, for whatever our reason is. And so whatever your tools of choice are, you know, I encourage you not to quit, you know, to quit on yourself and to pick them up. And it's hard. That's the other thing, you know, when I let the discipline down, sometimes, you know, it seems overwhelming to pick it up again, and it doesn't have to be. You just do something and it builds. You know, when you start feeling a little better, it makes you want to do more of it. You feel even better than that, and then you start going down that positive imagery path instead of getting stuck on the hamster wheel.
So you really want to watch your focus too, you know, and you know, you've heard it said that what you focus on is what you're going to be creating. It's true. So,
right.
Yeah. So don't focus, you know, or try to resist anything. You know, just really accentuate the positive, and focus on being joyful.
Yeah, when you were saying that, the audience knows me well enough now. I have 4 dogs, and one of them is a puppy. And so you were talking about the joy and the happiness, and of course I was thinking of then Sophie, Mario, Benny, and Libby, who's the new puppy. And you know, and that's pure joy, the wonder, you know, that seeing the first snow. You know, that she's...
Oh, what kind of puppy?
Well, she's interesting. She's a bug, which is part pug, part Boston.
Oh, how cute is that?
She looks like a little tiger, and she's 5 months old now, and she's just in awe and wonder. And I've been trying to pay attention. We were talking about animals and how helpful they were in recovery last night, and I was laughing because people, you know, Les Paul has Bandit, and Jenny has, you know, pet, a lot of people have pets, and they bring a lot of comfort to us, but they're naming like one animal, you know, and I have four, and I thought it took me four to have these different aspects. I can see the different aspects of my personality, not in one dog, but in all four of them. You know, the one that passed away in October, Annie, she was a very laid-back, responsible, always wanting to please, mothering everybody, hurting kind of variety of dog, and I lost her. She died in October, and so there's been grief about, you know, that, of course. Mario is the short man complex. You know, he's 11 pounds, he's a miniature dachshund, but he would go out and fight to the death. You know, he would just fight to the death, yet he needs a blanket when he wants to cuddle every night. You know, so he's got the warrior spirit going on. And then Benny is just a doofus. He's just a big doofus. He's only 3 years old, but I mean, he just is like, I don't know, a couple beats behind. He's a little bit slower, but so loving. And now, you know, Libby's got the puppy spirit going on, and she's just, it's either mischievous, which sometimes, you know, I'm not as patient with it, and then I stop because that unadulterated joy, you know, she hasn't been scarred or hurt or had any trauma yet. Everything is new and exciting and wonderful and an adventure for her right now, and I see that, and I love that, you know, I love that feeling for her, and I love that example in front of my face. That's why I want to go and buy the nesting dolls. I have to have these in front of my face, you know, to keep me going. But in any case, we've got probably don't have 5 minutes left in the program. My clock on the computer says so, but I do want to thank you, Marbeth. For anyone who does want to stay, and certainly Marbeth, if you want to too, I will be playing some music and let it roll into overtime. But you've worked hard tonight on the program. I really want to thank you so much, Marbeth Dunn, for being my guest tonight on the program, for helping me personally, and for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with our audience.
Oh, it has really been fun. It's really been a pleasure being here, and you know, I'm glad that you know, we had some fun tonight.
Me too. And anybody who wants to stay for overtime, quick call in now, 424-243-9540, because in just a couple minutes the sound will go off for anybody who hasn't dialed in. 424-243-9540. Dial that right now and you'll be able to stay in the overtime. Again, I want to thank our our sponsor, Gordon Johnson, TBI Law. Remind you that all of these live programs are archived for on-demand listening at your leisure. Marbeth, thank you so much again for being my guest tonight. Feel free to hang around if you like. And otherwise, as I said, I realize you've been working hard tonight. We appreciate you being here so much. And I'm going to close the show in the usual way with something I believe we all have, and that's a guardian angel. This is Leah West, and good night to those of you who are leaving. Thanks so much for being here.
Good night, sweetheart. It was really fun.
God replies, yes, it's your
thank you,
time,
Marbeth.
But don't you worry, you won't be there alone. one who's been waiting for you. Quietly hoping and praying everyone is home. With a guardian angel, out her wings she'll let you soar higher than you thought was possible. She'll love you.
Okay, we're on the other side of the hour. Marbeth did go. It was nice of her to hang on for the whole hour and a half. I told her that she only needed to do an hour, but that she was kind enough to stick with us for the whole 90 minutes. Again, thank you, Tracy, so much for
that was wonderful.
Turning me on to her. She's a wonderful lady,
welcome.
And I'll be anxious to talk to her more.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm surprised you're on. You always leave.
I know.
You're never here for overtime.
Well, Marbeth has a newsletter. I put it in the chat room.
Good.
And she writes, it's not a whole lot, but maybe once a week or I don't know. I can't remember how many times I get it. But what she writes is just beautiful, and it really helps me out. Just to read what she writes and incorporate it and try to incorporate it into my life and my own healing journey. So
you
I'm
said
so glad she was able
it.
To help you.
Oh, I am too. It's great. Now, I don't see you put her... Okay, so you can sign up for her newsletter on her website?
Yeah, it's free. You just put your...
Good, okay.
You know, email address in there and it'll come...
Yeah, sure.
I think it's about once a week. It's like a blog type of thing.
Cool.
And it's not very long, but it says a lot, and it really has helped me out. Marbeth has just been, I don't know how long I've known her on Facebook through Harrison Klein, maybe a year and a half, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe a year and a half I've known her. So, and I follow these people, and we've had a lot of fun on Facebook.
Yeah,
cool.
Wonderful. Well,
yeah,
I'll have to
check
that out more. Well, I will sign up for the newsletter for sure. So any of you in the audience who are still on, again, marbethdunn.com, check out her website and sign up for that newsletter. Sounds like based on our interview tonight and my conversation with her on the phone today, it'll be a great newsletter with some great tips. So that was different. That was a surprise for me. You know, she and I have both been really busy, and usually I have time to talk to my guests a little more. And she and I have both been on the fly, and so I got my program notes from her website, and we just talked very briefly today. I really had no idea what direction the show was going to go, and I was nervous about it. I'm usually anally prepared for my shows, as some of you know, and I wasn't tonight. But
well, I mean, it was really amazing that she was able to work with you. I mean, not amazing, but I know she could work with anybody. But she was able to help you out in what you're going through, and you know, everything happens at the perfect time.
Absolutely. And she didn't even know, but she knew. I was like, what the heck? You know, I thought she was just going to talk about energy work and some different stuff. I had no idea that we were going to go down that road at all, and that she was so intuitive about the stuff she picked up on. That blows me away.
Yeah. She's an amazing woman, and does a lot of good stuff out there. And she's so right that our thoughts are very powerful. And, you know, this energy work, which is what it is, you know, I've been looking at that for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, and thinking that would be very beneficial in something that could be beneficial in recovery with brain injury. I had had a gentleman working with Mike, doing healing touch with him, working on his energy field, the aura field that surrounds the body.
Mm-hmm.
And I was seeing positive results with Mike after 18 months. I couldn't explain to you what he was doing, but he was working on different areas of his brain where he was most challenged, like in his speech area and his eye area. He's legally blind, and he was talking in sentences that I had never heard him talk before, which
wow.
was beautiful. Yeah, after all these years too. So.
Yeah,
there's a lot to be said in the energy work. Well, even with what Keith Anthony's doing and had is doing in mindfulness meditation.
Yes, my
you know,
gal
all
that
these...
does the cranial sacral work. She does energy
yeah.
work, and I believe it. You know, we were talking the other day that those of us that have had brain injury have felt electricity. Sarah was talking last night about how lights are affected, you know, electricity is affected when she
yeah.
walks into
yeah.
the room, like watches stop and that kind of thing. And
yeah.
and when I, after my surgery, I could feel sparks, like when you're putting two wires together under
mm-hmm.
the hood of the car and you have sparks. I could
yeah.
feel my circuits connecting again. I could feel the electricity.
Wow.
Literally in
wow.
my head, I could feel that
yeah.
happening, and I felt it. You know, I didn't know anything about that it was or that it could be electricity or anything like that. But feeling it, you knew that's what it was. I mean, the image that came into my head was the two wires. I'm like, that is really
mm-hmm.
weird. It freaked me out a little at first, and
yeah.
then I realized
sure.
that the circuits were reconnecting. It was like somebody had spilled a Coke on the keyboard, you know, and you know, and the wires are
that's
starting
a good analogy.
To, well, it's because I did it once. It is
yeah.
not good.
Yeah, right.
It is not good at all. But
oh my,
I could feel that
yeah.
energy, and I just think that there's some people that are more intuitive to that energy work, because like Marbeth, they've spent 25 years of their life devoted to learning, you know, more about that kind of thing, and I think that they do have a knack of working with the energies, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're all made up of energy. That's what we are. And you know, people they don't realize what they're working with. Even thoughts are energy. That's why they're so powerful, because what you know, what Marbeth was saying, whatever you attach to the I am sick, I'm going to continue to be sick, you know, rather than saying I am getting better every day. And I'm getting better at that, but I'm not always there. I've had a rough couple weeks and you know, trying to decide what am I doing
yeah,
for my brother,
makes,
you know.
Makes
yeah,
sense.
It's I don't, you know, what way do I want to go? You know, the information that I've been given by some people in the industry is to go on an aggressive path, and that's not me. And I don't think that's our true nature.
Right.
And so I have a lot of resistance with that, and you know, trying to figure out, okay, what do I do to turn things around in a positive way? You know, it's like either go to war or
right,
you know, wave the surrender flag. You know, I'm waving the surrender flag, but it's, you know, what do I do with this? So I really don't know. I'm really stuck in that, and I know the answer's within me, but I just haven't been able to find it.
Well, I think
so.
We're
a lot
in
of stuff
a similar place. In that, you know, it's
yeah.
that no wonder you could relate to some of what she's saying, because we're carrying
oh yeah
some other people's stuff, and we're at an impasse of not knowing what to
yeah oh I was
do
bawling my
right
eyes out
minute. Yeah,
when
I would
she
have
was working
but...
with you, I was bawling my eyes out. It just started, it just turned on, and I couldn't turn it off, but I thought, you know, just go with the flow. And
well,
I do feel much better though.
Well, I'm glad you feel better, because remember I said I wondered if anyone in the audience ever felt like
yeah.
if they started crying, they'd never stop. It was because I
yeah.
couldn't. So it was nice of you to do that for me.
yeah.
Well, you and
Mom
made
too.
A great team. So now I see if I cry, I can stop because you're sitting here laughing now.
I know. Well, like Marbez said, we're all one, you know, and we are one spirit. We're just unique, individual expressions of the whole. And, we all have gifts. And but what she did with you was definitely, I was picking up on all of that. My back's been hurting me for the past couple of days. It doesn't hurt now.
I know.
So,
neither does mine.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Well, it's interesting because she talks about being an empath and being able to pick up on other people's energies. And I am an empath, and I do pick up on a lot of people's energy. And I've been around a lot of negative energy. A lot of friends of mine have been going through a lot of stuff, and I've been picking up on that. And not feeling good, and that's my own. That's not their fault. They're just going through with their stuff. But I have not worked hard enough at blocking taking on their energy, so that
right.
it doesn't affect me. So it has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with me. And so that's another area that I need to work with or work on and. To develop my own unique technique.
No, me
to
too.
Stop that. Yeah.
Totally relate.
Yeah.
Totally relate
yeah.
to that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, but I'm just so excited. It's funny too. Is what was that? 3 years ago. Actually, 2.5 years ago, I walked away from the situation. I won't. You know, we all know that situation, and. I had to because it was so negative. And, you know, I had started bringing this stuff into, trying to bring it into medical, the raw foods, the energy work, the mind, the belief systems, the, you know, all this stuff. And I was laughed at and made fun of. But it was so funny because once I walked away, it allowed room for, look at all the people, all of you that I've met,
right?
That are bringing all this stuff in. It's
mm-hmm.
like so. I vibrated out of my energy field vibrated away from that negative situation, and then I vibrated it into people of like minds and hearts.
Right.
And that's what was so beautiful. So I can't tell you all of you how grateful I am. Because this stuff excites me. The other stuff does not excite me
mm-hmm,
at all.
Right.
It brings me down. Oh, yeah, it brings me down. I've never been presented. But in some ways, that's my springboard to go from that and jump into what really turns me on.
Right.
And that's all of this kind of stuff. And everything that you're doing and reaching out to others and, I mean, what Craig's doing, all of you guys, you know, this is just beautiful.
Well, thank
so
you.
Thank you so much for being you guys. Because like Marbeth said, and I've heard this before from many of you, it is a gift what you're going through. And it's a gift what I've gone through, too. Because it brings me to more spiritual growth in my own life. And it also gives me an opportunity to go into something else that provides solutions.
Right.
So I have to run.
Okay.
I need to try and get to bed tonight. So thank you so much for this evening. Thank you so much.
Ditto
have
that.
Have a beautiful evening.
And
yeah.
you too. And we'll be in touch and talk about that future show we're going to be lining
yeah, I know.
Up.
Yeah, that would be so much fun. And, you know, I really started getting into that, and then I thought, okay, step back from it. You're getting too excited here. And, yeah, we will talk. But you're still in my thoughts and prayers for your dad and your mom and what you're
Thanks.
Going through. And when you have a moment, you know, you let me know. Okay.
I will, absolutely.
No
Thanks
rush.
So much for being here, Tracy. Get
yeah,
better.
Take care. Yeah,
All
thank
right.
you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, Les Paul, just you and me. Well, no, nobody, Keith Anthony, guest. Who was the other brain injury radio this whole time?
I see that.
I don't know who it is, but it's so funny. I don't know if you did this. Well, I guess I already explained about the chat room and it not working. I've been reading your comments, but it's been really frustrating tonight. I'm used to answering people back. And
but you're not able to comment yourself?
No, I can't use the chat room at all. I can see it, and I can sit here and move my little tool down, and right now I'll put XXXXX on here and hit enter. And a message pops up that says, warning, your input message is too long.
And you said that before, I remember, yeah.
Should be less than 256.
Oh, my goodness.
And I
well,
just made five X's. So
and
I
thought last night was strange for me, because if I wouldn't have had two computers, I don't think I would have been able to do my show. I ran and turned on my other computer. It was on, but it wasn't on the Internet. And so I went to it, and I had the message board on one computer, and I had the screen that you're supposed to look at when you're the host on the other one. I had to do that. I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah, and the interesting thing on the I have an iPad, and I tried to do it, although I knew that the iPad doesn't use Flash. You can't see the chat room on an iPad. I thought maybe
I
could sign in as myself, you know, and talk with you guys in the chat room that way. And I logged on while I was talking to her, and then I remembered that I didn't even know. You know, it was funny, when I signed up for Blog Talk Radio initially, before I knew about this show, before I knew about anything, I had just discovered internet radio, and I Googled internet radio, and Blog Talk Radio was the first thing that came up, and I did it on my iPad, you know, one night late at night out sitting on the couch. And I started listening to shows, and I kept hearing them talk about the chat room, and I didn't know what that was.
I didn't either.
I didn't see anything, and there wasn't anything on there. I was so blown away the first time I got on my big girl computer back in my office. I was like, oh, my God, this is what they're talking about.
That's what I've been missing.
Yeah. Oh, that's what a chat room is, you know. And I think it's that Flash thing, you know.
I was actually told that about the iPad. I didn't remember that until you said it just now. My supervisor actually... I don't know if it's hers or works, but she has one, and she was telling me about it. There's certain things you can't use on it. I think that was one. I'm not certain, but I think so.
It is. See, there's a war between, I think, Windows. I think Flash is a Windows thing.
I believe you're right.
And they're in a war with Apple, one of those,
yeah.
I won't say a naughty word, envy situation. It's really not a naughty word, but I don't think it's. Anyway, you know what I mean. I think it's one of those situations. And so Apple doesn't have Flash, and so you can't view a chat room. So for anybody out listening in the audience, if you've gone through the same thing, now that Les Paul caught to having the same issue, there might be some of you out there with Apple products that have heard us refer to the chat room. And at least on an iPad, the chat room won't show up. And so having that second computer didn't do me any good. I didn't even try to do the studio with it. I just figured I would let everybody know to call in, you know, if they want to talk, because I can't talk on the chat board tonight. And I do
and
have
it feels
another...
strange without that, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, especially I'm reading comments, and I'd like to be able to comment back to them, and I can't, you know. So,
yeah.
So where were you?
I'm sorry, I've forgotten myself.
No, earlier? You don't know where you were earlier?
Me?
Yeah, so when you were driving.
Oh, where was I? Oh, where was I at? You mean?
Yeah.
I was actually visiting with someone in our brain injury support group, and we got talking so long that I forgot about what time it was.
Oh.
And it was already time to be there when I was still at their house on the radio show. And so I said, I've got to go, guys. And they've actually listened to Brain Injury Radio Show. It's a couple. And they're wonderful. They're brain injury advocates. They're a beautiful couple, just the things they do. And they're helping in our local support group. And that's what we were talking about tonight, some things we've got coming up. And so I look at my watch and I said, oh, my goodness, I wanted to be there. And it's on our time, it was already past 10 o'clock. I think it was like 10:17 when I saw it. And I said, you guys, I got to go. And we're talking about cars. He works on all kinds of hot rods and things. And this man has a very unique story. He's worked and been with just about every business you can possibly think of. He's a real cool fellow. And his wife has cerebral palsy, and he has had a stroke. And and they're both just wonderful people. I just can't get away from them because I love talking to them so much. And when I saw it, I got in the car, turned on the cell phone, and dialed into the radio show and just laid the phone down where I wouldn't look at it or anything, because you're not supposed to do that while you drive. And turned the speaker up and listened to the show. And so that's how I listened to it till I got home.
Cool. Well, you're always out and about doing something. I think I saw Jenny say something about, oh, Les was out shopping again or something, which was
funny about that.
Yes, you are. You are funny about that. We all know you to be a shopper.
I am a guy who likes to shop, and women who have men that don't, you need to get on them, because my mother used to say, I'm sick of men that don't like to shop. There's nothing wrong with going shopping with your wife or your girlfriend every now and then.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend and I will go shopping together. I don't mind it unless it's something like 900 hours.
Right.
I like going out and seeing things. I like smelling the scents in the air. I like going out in the community and just going to different concerts and things, local concerts and all kinds of different things. After the brain injury, I'm sorry, you go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just agreeing with you. I think you're right. We almost lose our life and figure out how valuable it is, and so it's a nice thing to go out and actually live it once we got it back.
I know guys that will figure out every absolute shortcut, whether it's a shopping mall, whether it's a department store, or to get home. I like taking the long way home, kind of like the old song from the 70s
Take
or 80s.
Take the long way.
Yes. You know, take
she
the long way home. I like to take the long way
earlier.
Home. What'd you say?
I do, too. I do, too. I was just laughing. I wish I could remember what Marbeth said earlier, but she said something that was in a song, and I knew that you had to have thought of it at the same time I did, but I can't remember what it was now.
Oh.
It was like what just happened, what you just said. It was just like that. She said something, and it was a song like that. Anyway, that's
okay. It made me happy. I just want to say it made me happy for you, the way that things were working for you tonight, just because I know you've had a lot of hardship lately and a lot of heartache, I guess you could say. I don't know exact words to use, but to hear that you were finding some peace and feeling better, that's great.
Yeah, I think so, too. And like I said, I had no idea that was the show, that was going to be the course that the show was going to take. All I knew about her is what I read in the program notes. So I didn't know anything about the readings or you know, the work that she was doing with me. I didn't know anything about any of that. So that was an interesting surprise. I want to shift for just a second. Some of you that are in the chat room and maybe listening saw a picture that I posted on a few Facebook pages, my In a Flash page and Brain Injury Radio page, and it was a picture of me and a fella named Nick Johnson. He's one of the new musicians that I had been out to hear at the coffee shop that one night that it started snowing.
Yeah.
It's a picture of me and him, and there's a painting, a goofy painting behind us of a big head, a real colorful head. And so this isn't one of the songs Nick had originally given me. I'll play some of those later or another time. But by the way, Nick, in his case, if you want to look him up on Amazon or iTunes, and I apologize, I'm going to have to, well, I can maybe look at my iPad while this is playing and see if he has a website too, and let you guys know that. But Nick Johnson does have a couple of CDs out. They're on iTunes and Amazon. He is a singer-songwriter, and like I said, the song that I'm going to play tickled me because it's where I live, and he says it. And so, of course, I got tickled, and I was going to make you guys listen.
Okay.
He gave me a couple of other songs, but I'm going to play, and it's just 2 minutes and 19 seconds. I'm going to play Billy the Kid for you.
Okay.
By Nick Johnson. 2 minutes and 19 seconds.
Convincing, still I turn my head to the brighter side of the dull red in your eyes. You and me ain't that different. I'm just half time in the grass cup, and I feel like Billy the Kid. I don't wanna fall down like he did. My mistakes, they must be perfect. I can't seem to find all these tears that hide in my mind.
That was Nick Johnson, currently from Omaha, Nebraska, and I'm looking on iTunes right now, and he actually has an early recordings album, and Mental Photographs is another album, and a third is A Kiss Goodbye. So I encourage you to check him out. I'll be playing, you know, more of his music as we go along. He was a really, he is a really swell guy, and he was more than happy to let us play his music on Brain Injury Radio, is a big believer and supporter in what we do, and was
That's
more than happy to help. Yeah, he was most gracious. And, oh, doggone it. You know, okay, on another night when I'm better prepared, he actually gave me some paperwork. Now this is all coming back to me.
Okay.
Yeah, he gave me some... I know, it did. He had given me some paperwork where he wrote a little bit of a blurb behind each song that he gave me to play, which was pretty cool.
Okay, that's cool.
Along with his the permission, you know, that the written permission he gave me to use his music, and I guess I don't have that handy, so if Nick would happen to be listening, I apologize for that. I will lay my hands on those papers on my desk, and maybe we'll even have him call in. I was considering having you know, I talked to Travis and the guy who did my floor, Brooke, from HD. And, of course, you know, you guys who listen regularly know that John Cruise is probably about 12 days into his 28 straight days of radiation for the brain tumor that he has on his brain stem. In fact, if I hadn't been so caught up in my own stuff, I really need to call him. But what I was thinking of doing on the show one night is I've got enough independent artists now, a couple of whom, you know, well, we had Garfan, you know, as our guest, Dale Hayes, last week on the show. And I thought it might be nice some night to just do a show and have all of these guys call in who
that
have
would
allowed
be really great. That sounds wonderful.
Music. Yeah, I thought it would be neat. I knew that our audience might want to call. The boys could share with us, you know, give us a little insight into, you know, what their thoughts were, what was going on in their life when they wrote these different songs. And, you know, our guests could comment or maybe call and thank them for, you know, helping to support the show in that way. So one of these nights I'll do that, because we're getting enough of them now. And some really weird things have happened lately. I called, this will be funny, and I'll have to tell you what, and of course I don't remember the young man's name. When he gets a hold of me, you guys will know, but I called because on my audiobook, I had submitted the files, and they said, you know, it would take like 2 weeks. They sent me an email, and they said everything was fine, nothing had to be done, and they gave me the "it'll show up soon," you know, on Audibles.com and Amazon and iTunes. And soon is such a relative when you're sitting there, you know, with your nose pressed on the window. Soon, you know, what does that word mean? You know, like what does that mean? You know, everything is fine. Well, then why isn't it now? What is soon? You know, and so,
somewhere in between.
Yeah. Well, like a week went by more, you know, so it'd been like 3 weeks since I submitted the files, and they were complete. You know, all these guys had to do is release it for, I mean, an audiobook, it's not a tangible, you know, these are MP3s people are downloading, I think. Although I haven't looked at the site yet. Gary said it can be delivered in several different fashions. But in any case, I called their service line. I think it's called ADX or something that routes your book to all these places. Anyway, I called up and I said to the kid, to the young man, I said, now that I'm getting old, everybody is a kid, but I said to him, yeah, I was just wondering, I turned in my stuff and I got your note a week ago that said that everything was fine. I was just wondering if you could let me know, you know, when this stuff's going to start. You know, when it's going to start showing up, I'd like to announce it on my Facebook page and stuff. And so, you know, straight out of the manual tells me about what the email did. Well, everything was fine that you turned in. There aren't any corrections or anything that need to be made, so it'll be soon. And I'm like, I said, no. I said, the reason why I was calling, I did read that in the email, you know, but the reason why I was calling is, like, I can't wrap my head around this soon word. I was hoping
really
if
focused
I
focused on that,
in.
Didn't you?
yeah, I did. I said, I was hoping if I called in, you could tell me more specifically when soon translates to, you know. Are they going to show up on the site tomorrow, a week from Tuesday, you know? Is there a date?
2020?
Yeah, anything. Just a specific, more specific. And so he says he's going to type back to, I don't know, the department that can tell you that, I guess. And so he was sending him back a message. He was a very pleasant young fella, and I started talking. He said, now I just need to wait for an answer. And so I started telling him about Brain Injury Radio. And I said, well, first he asked me what my book was about. And so I gave him my website. I said, you got a pen? I said, check out inaflash.org. And he looked at it and he was like, oh my God. And he started asking me questions about, you know, the book and the brain trauma and that. And then he saw the radio tab and I started talking to him about radio. And he says, yeah, he said, me and my girlfriend cut a couple of CDs. I'm a musician, but I had to get a day job, you know. And so that's where he was working. And I said, really? I said, well, that's interesting, because it seems that I've also, as long as, you know, as well as being a host, that I've been on kind of a quest for independent singer-songwriters, you know, just for the fun of it. I don't even have to do that now, you know, but because I started it and it's kind of fun, you know, meeting these new people and being around, you know, you and I both love music. It's been fun for me to do this, you know. And so this kid, he took down my number and the website, and he's real excited. He's going to contact me. Him and the girl broke up, but she's still out apparently going around the country performing, continuing to perform and do concerts.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. And so he's going to get a hold of me and let me play some of their music. So that'll
be you're going to have a whole string of bands.
I know. That's why I thought it would be pretty easy at some point to have a show, you know, where I could have them all just call in and give us a little insight. But they've all just been real, really nice people and very supportive and willing to help. And obviously, you know, we're getting their name out when we're playing their music. But still, you know, when I think about the people that I contacted, like when I was looking for, I got some reviews when I very first wrote my book before it came out, because I was an unknown and I wanted to lend some credibility, I guess. I wanted to get some reviews before I released the book. And so I contacted, you wouldn't believe, because I mean, I grew up in a life of sales. And so rejection was my middle name. It rolls off my back. You know, it just doesn't matter. You just make the next call. You know, you make the next call. You don't take it personal. You know, it's not, you know. And so I would just call, I mean, all of these people about reviews, and the same thing now when I was looking for musicians, I sent out a lot of emails and phone calls, and it was, I appreciated the people who got back to me so much more, obviously, than the people who didn't even acknowledge.
Exactly.
You know?
I see what you mean, big time.
Yeah, if they would have, like, written back and said, you know, our royalty company won't let us do that, or geez, I'd really love to give you a review, but I'm too busy to do that right now, or it's against my moral compass, you know, to help other people out. You know, some kind of a response. But, you know, when they don't respond at all, and then you take somebody like our guest, Dale Hayes, last week, you know, who obviously has got, you know, big issues with his wife, big issues with himself, and still came up himself and his own personal drama to help others. You know,
he's going through all of that. You're right about that. And some people will not give you the time of day when you're being very kind and just doing whatever you can. I don't understand that at all. It bothers me sometimes, but it's how people are.
I know. That's why I appreciate these people. I loved being able to get back in touch with John Cruz after all these years and see him, and then to meet Nick was really great. And it was just funny irony that my floor guy
that always tickles me. I can't help but laugh.
And now, you know, this customer service guy at the audiobook place, for Pete's sake. I mean, I can't a cat without hitting somebody who's made a CD, you know.
I know.
I keep running into these people. So, yeah, the board is growing and growing with these people that you know, have very talented people, but it's tough. You know, as Craig would probably attest, you know, when people are selling songs for 99 cents, and you're, you know, selling a book for, I mean, a paperback book for $12 and an audio book for, you know, $6 or whatever it is, and the companies are keeping, you know, 60% or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking a pretty small margin, you know, on those 29 songs, you know, they're making, what, 57 cents every time they make a sale?
Exactly.
A lot of that month in, month out to pay the rent, I'll tell you that. There's a reason. Now I know, after 25 years of being a financial, you know, consultant and going into being an artist of sorts, you know, writer and artist, I know where they got that term starving artist, you know.
I do, too. It really fits home, doesn't it?
It does. I just thought it was like, I don't know, one of the metaphor things, but I mean, it's a truism, you know. They're just, and it's gotten worse, you know. At least in the old days when we used to buy an album, I don't know, does anybody remember how much an album cost last time we were buying vinyl?
It's been many years since I've actually bought a new album, even though they actually still make them very rarely, but when I would buy them on a regular basis, because they were coming out and CDs didn't exist and all that, it was like $5 and $6 and $7, different things like that, if it wasn't lower.
Right. And you had to buy, I mean, the 45s were kind of out. You could buy a 45, but I mean, I think they were getting more for a 45 record 25 years ago than these guys are getting for a
song.
You're
right, they were.
Right now. Which is really kind of a trip that, you know, of all the things that the price grows on, books and music, the price has gone down on. And
yes.
I think it's most insulting, you know. Somebody pours their heart and soul into the lyrics and then writing the music to get to make 99 cents, really?
Mm.
And I thought that too, you know, because, and I see Frank's on here, but he's never held up his hand. I think I'm going to unmute Frank for just a minute. Hi, Frank. How you doing tonight? Are you there, Frank, or did you fall asleep on us? Okay. Well, maybe Frank fell asleep on us.
It's happened before.
Well, put your hand up if you decide you want to talk, Frank. But we were talking about that, you know, the other night. He was talking about his book on ebook, and you know, and I didn't want to talk to your guest. You had a wonderful guest last night. I didn't want to, you know, get into the money part of it with her. I didn't know her well enough to discuss that on your show, you know. But but it is amazing, you know, because you do, there is some time value to money, you know, the time that you took to sit down and write out a book, whether it's 10 pages or 250 pages, you know, it took some amount of time and re-experiencing, you know, especially for books that are memoirs that aren't fiction or fun, you know, like in that kind of way, books that were painful, you know, like in my case, it was 17 years of feelings I had pushed down, and I thought that I actually don't think I even had a conscious thought of it, but on some level I thought I could actually sit down and write that and not re-experience it, not re-feel it, because it had been so long ago. And that wasn't true, you know. It brought it all right back like it was yesterday. Right. And, you know, there were parts of me when I was writing it that wondered what in the heck I was doing. I had spent 17 years trying to put it down, and now I'm stirring the pot and bringing all those emotions up to the surface. And then, you know, you got to pay for an editor and cover designer and to get the thing formatted and, you know, a lot of cost and stuff in it. And then you go on and they tell you, you know, what you can charge. And
well, I'll bring another band in to describe in what you did. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears over your book.
You made me so very happy.
You see what I mean? Everything's a song with me, but really, you put a lot of hard work in into your book. And it's an awesome thing. I enjoy it. You've got a very good book.
Well,
don't ever sell yourself short on it. I really have enjoyed it.
Well, thanks. Thanks for reading. Yeah, it wasn't so much about that. It's just that I think it's interesting, you know, just like I said, for the musicians to, you know, that you do go to a lot of work. And, you know, when you see the price, you know, the musician, the author, we're not getting the price that's there.
Exactly. And it's a shame. I've seen about the copyright issues that people are facing that are musicians because they're going broke.
Yep.
When they used to make big money, it's not that way anymore. They don't. I mean, unless you're a really big artist and own all of your own rights and everything, or a record company can sometimes take 60% and 70% from the new artist, like you were talking about earlier with the books.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And the thing that's so sad is that, you know, the people, and I'm not. Anyway, it seems ironic to me that the people who are already rich and famous, those are the people that make money, because the traditional houses are struggling. They're swirling the drain right now, so they don't want to take chances on unknown people. You know, they're going to go out and find your Wayne Dyers and people who have already proven themselves in the market and publish their books, because that's what they're going to have the best chance to make money on, you know. And so the unknowns, that's what we are, you know, we're unknowns. And so when Frank asked your author and me last night, you know, like maybe the ebook wasn't enough, that he should get a tangible paperback book in his hand, it doesn't matter if you've got a hardcover in your hand, a paperback in your hand, an audiobook, an ebook, you're an unknown. It's like I said last night, you could sell, if you're good at marketing and promoting, you know, you can market a turd and make it look like a diamond.
You said that, yes.
But if
I think about...
And you wanted to give it away, you couldn't if nobody knew who you were.
I think about how the music industry, as an example, has changed so much, and books, in terms of, like you're talking about, the bartering down on the prices so low whether it's not enough to even survive on. Well, a lot of music is now oldies. We don't get as many new artists. There are some wonderful new artists, but they don't get enough airplay and they don't get enough attention unless it's a really big smash hit. And when it's a smash hit, unless it's a really big, big, big artist, they fade away. It used to be where they had enough time to hone their craft, build it up, and then build up an audience. And that's the same way with the books.
Right. Well, and the other thing I really didn't want to do, and I had to make this decision pretty early on and define it, and that is that, you know, I was willing to do the book signings in town and do that kind of thing, but I didn't want to become a traveling salesman, you know, for $12 and have to spend my life in a suitcase, you know, traveling around. I just didn't want to do that, you know. And so I figured in God's time and plan that I'm doing what I'm doing, you know, that my life turned down the road, that it went down from doing the book to being on radio and all of that. And I'm just following, you know, following the path that God's laid out in front of me, and it just didn't include, you know, trying to get on Oprah. Not that that's a bad thing or anything, but I mean, that's not the only stop. You'll notice people that are the best sellers that are in that 0.5% of all the books that come out, you're seeing them on every single show. I mean, those people aren't stopping to breathe, you know, or to be with their family or anything, because they're on Oprah Today, Ellen Tomorrow, the Today Show in the morning. I mean, they're just constantly, you know, traveling, living out of a suitcase on the go, promoting their product. And I think Craig even mentioned that about the music and why he was not going to be doing the Insane Pain anymore, because he just didn't have the energy. And I knew that ahead of time for me.
Yeah.
That I wasn't going to be able to do that. You know, that was not going to be a path I was going to be able to go down. And then I had thoughts like Sarah, well, why even bother, you know, writing this book then if I'm not willing to go the distance? And then, you know, something told me it isn't about being in the 0.5%. It's about doing the accomplishment for me. It made me feel good that I was able to plan a project and take the action to see it through to completion, and that I know it's touched a person or two because a lot of people have written to tell me about it.
And I'm sure it's a whole lot more than that. I really am.
Well, you know, it's like your gal said last night, you know, we'd like to think, but I mean, you know, the God's plan isn't always what we might think.
That's
the
for sure. Yeah.
That needs to hear a message at any given time is going to hear the message, you know, whether it's on the radio or in a song or in a book. It isn't so much about the masses. It's about, you know, where God targeted your arrow to hit. And you have to have the faith that that's what's going to happen, you know, and then you just do the deal. And you don't try to control the outcome. You just take the action.
Yeah.
And turn the outcome over to God. That's none of our business. That's what I wanted to say in the chat room last night, is it's none of our business what other people think after we've put the message out that we were motivated to put out there. The people that are going to hear it, that need it, are going to. And it's nice. It's a bonus if we get to get that feedback, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's really none of our business. If one person picks it up and thinks it's boring or whatever, that's their opinion, you know? That's their opinion. And for every one of those, there's somebody who took value out of it. And your guest last night also brought that up. You know, she said the same message isn't going to translate the same, you know, because people are all different and they're going to receive messages in different ways. And one person's cup of tea isn't going to be another person's cup of tea. And I thought that she was really good at expressing that.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, that you don't let that stop you.
Really, if not even, if only one person is ever affected, if it really helps that person, you've done your job. It'd be wonderful if millions of people heard it, if it helped them. And I hope that a lot more people hear it than that. And I'm sure they have, actually. I just am. But if you helped one person that was really in need of dire help, might have been near suicide or something. I'm just coming up with words to go with that. And you might have helped stop them or made them smile. It's worth it all for that.
It is, and you know, I was even thinking, I talked to Dale, and he was looking for some life insurance for his wife, and he didn't even know that is the business I had been in for 25 years.
Okay.
He just knew me in this context of looking for a musician, and it was, you know, one of those, I think coincidences are God's way of working anonymously. It was strange that, you know, that there'd be a brain connection with him because of his wife. And, you know, I got to thinking about it. I felt so good. I was able to know exactly where to look. And because she's in that facility, the answer is no everywhere, even on guaranteed issue policies. And I kept going. It became kind of a thing for me, and I found it. And it wasn't anything I can do for him, myself personally. It's a company that has their own captive people. But I found it for him, and I connected him with it. And, you know, the average cost of final expenses today is $8,000 to $10,000 here. Mm-hmm. And you know, if a person lives another 10 years or so, you know, who knows? You know, the cost of final expenses. Yeah, it can be $10,000 or $15,000. Well, people don't want to burden their families, you know, with having to come up with cash. It's not like you can start saving when it happens. You know, you got to deal with it on the spot. And so, you know, the impossible was found because nobody wants to take on that risk. And in my business, I know that industry well enough. And yet the needle in the haystack, I found it. And I thought, you know, even writing that book, if I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have found the radio. If I wouldn't have been on the radio and played the wrong songs, I wouldn't have heard from James. I wouldn't have started looking for these original artists where I find a person who's got a huge need they're really concerned about, and I was coming for him in the beginning, you know, about his music. He had a need, and you guys responded so beautifully with that night, you know, DJ and you and everybody is typing things in the chat room that I was able to send him in the email. I mean, he got a plethora of roads to go down that might wind up. And I thought, you know, if all that came out of writing the book is that his wife gets to come home and that he gets to have his life insurance on her, I, honest to God, would be happy.
I know what you mean. You said a big mouthful, a beautiful mouthful when you said that. That's what I was talking about. How can you do better than that? You did your best when something like that happens.
Yeah, you just never know. You know, you just never know when you start something where the echo is going to be, or, you know, like if you ever chipped a, what do you call that, with a stone when you throw it in the water, skipping stone. You know, you never know where the ripple's going to go.
And it continually spreads out. If you watch, like if you throw it in a pond, it'll spread out farther and farther. It might get thinner or look weaker, but it spreads a long ways. And that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it is. And you never know. You know, the day that I picked up a pen to start writing, I had no idea. Just like the show tonight, you know. It's funny, I had no idea when this show came on tonight the turns it was going to take. And the first day I picked up a pen, I had no idea, you know, the way that the next year, you know, at least, and it's still going. You know, I had no idea.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. You just don't know when you start something, and that's why... You know, I'll repeat what I said earlier when Marbeth was getting off. Whatever your quiver of arrows is, don't be afraid to use them. And what you were talking about earlier, you know, most of us that are here all but lost our lives, you know, literally, and then in function, you know, for a while after, and to some degree permanently, but we got a second chance at our life. So to live it on the sidelines to me is unfortunate, because there's so many things we get a chance now to go out and experience and appreciate and find joy and to create a life worth living, instead of perhaps taking for granted the life that we had before.
That's absolutely true. When you say that, I've got a smile on my face just listening to what you're saying, because I know that's true, and I hope everybody listening gets that more than anything.
Yeah, I do too. You know, try it. It isn't about being the best. It's not about being the 0.5%, you know, on the hit parade or the New York Times bestseller or winning the marathon. It's the fact that we could even pick up a pen, that we could even sing a song, that we could even put on a tennis shoe and think about a marathon. You know, it's about the process and not the outcome. Experiencing life and turning the outcome over to the universe and just enjoying the process. I think, to me now, that's what my life has become, and what makes it a life worth living is understanding the process and enjoying each moment of the process. even when times are hard, you know. I mean, there would be a time where I've been going through things like I've been going through that I wouldn't be here tonight, you know.
Yeah.
I would have been in a pity pot, or I would have been in bed with the covers over my head. And I wouldn't have been able to follow through. But God gave me my life back, which means it's going to have peaks and valleys. And on a day that there's